From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, December the 8th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Either yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Come on, everybody sing it loud, sing it proud. Yep, truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Now let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one. It says, how many of you believe in telekinesis? Raise my hand. Do you always do everything you're told?
You know, sometimes it just gets hard to smile through it when they ask you to bend down and grab your ankles.
I guess it's safe to move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Well, all right, kids, it was on this date in 1953, President Eisenhower delivered his Atoms for Peace speech, which led to an American program to supply equipment and information on nuclear power to schools, hospitals, and research institutions around the world. And before long, you could build a nuke in your basement, if you wanted to. In 1962, workers at four New York City newspapers, and this later increased to nine, went on strike for 114 days. Imagine that. New York City had nine newspapers at one time? Wow. That's an awful lot of birdcage liners.
You need serious, serious help.
The absolute lunacy that is the Biden administration really seems to be kind of a reflection of the state of California. You know, whether you're in California or you're looking at what the Biden administration is advocating these days, there's a little difference. Either way you look at it, it's insanity. Now, the NTSB, I hinted at this, about a week or so ago on one of the blogcasts, but the NTSB, the National Traffic Safety Board, wants to limit your speed while driving. Now, about a week or so ago, I was warning you about the kill switches that are going to be installed on all new vehicles starting in 2026. Forget that this is unconstitutional, and this is not the job of government. But you see, government is creeping into our lives more and more and more. So now, in addition to the kill switch, government is going to limit your speed. And all of this while they're trying to force you into electric cars that nobody wants. Electric cars that are totally impractical. This nation's commerce is going to come to a standstill if the government succeeds in the mandate that everybody get into electric cars. It's stupidity with a capital stoop. Now, B.D. Hobbs at KTRH Radio here in Houston wrote an article for the KTRH website. Let me just read it to you. It says, as if forcing you into an electric vehicle wasn't bad enough, the Biden administration now wants to control how fast you go and if you can even drive at all. You didn't hear much about it, but beginning in 2026, all new cars will be required to have a mandatory kill switch and you won't control it. Now, first of all, it's not etched in granite yet. This can be stopped. But the article continues by quoting Senator Representative Congressman Thomas Massie, who's a Republican out of Kentucky. He says, it's part of the 2021 infrastructure bill. They slipped in a provision that requires all automakers to have a kill switch that'll monitor your driving performance and then disable your car if it thinks you're impaired. This is Orwellian. It's crazy. And he's right. It's insane. Frankly, this whole idea of slipping things into bills that have an entirely different name should be outlawed. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. That's how people like you and I get screwed. But what's even more crazy is that 19 House Republicans voted in favor of the kill switch. And there was a surprise Democrat who did not. Now, Massey told KTRH, he says it was AOC, and she came to me and she said she had civil liberties concerns. Can you imagine that? He says, and can you imagine all sorts of ways that they would use this? During COVID, if you didn't have your vaccine, well, they might decide that you shouldn't be traveling and spreading the virus, and they could disable your car. In addition to that, the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, is also pushing to add built-in speed limit controls on all new cars so you can't drive too fast. It's insanity. And you and I are just expected to go along with it. We're expected to accept it. Now, at what point do we finally tell our government no? It's like this whole transgender thing. And preferred pronouns. If somebody demands that you address them by their preferred pronoun, your first response should be no, and then walk away. Well, this is what we need to do with this. We need to tell the government no in all caps and about three or four exclamation points after it. No. No to the kill switch. No to speed limiting. My God, I never would have made it through Nixon's national 55-mile-an-hour speed limit if we had had devices that held us to that. I never would have made it. I just wouldn't have gone anywhere. But this is your government, my friend. Your government is going to continue to pull this crap. Right now, it's just this. What's it going to be in another 3, 4, 5 years down the road? How much more are they going to force themselves, the government, force themselves onto you and me? Before long, they're going to be limiting how many children you can have, how much food you can eat, what kind of food you can eat. Believe me, the day will come when they will tell you what you can and can't eat. They'll force you to have veggie burgers instead of beef. They're going to force the farmers away from cattle farming. I mean, this is real. And in the AI era to come, how much worse could it get? Oh, don't even try to answer that. Here's how Laura Ingraham covered it the other night.
Now, we briefly touched on this next story last night, but it was so enraging that I thought it deserved a longer conversation.
It's so incredible that I have to offer this amendment. It almost sounds like the domain of science fiction, that the federal government would put a kill switch in vehicles that would be the judge, the jury, and the executioner on such a fundamental right as the right to travel freely.
Now, this isn't about protecting people. It's about controlling your every move, at least when you're in a vehicle. And it's something that the left and the federal government want you to kind of get used to. House Democrats and 19 Republicans voted against Thomas Massie's amendment that would defund a federal kill switch mandate, which means that all cars manufactured starting in 2026 will now have a way for authorities to monitor your driving and then cut power to your car. Oh, what could go wrong with that? Joining me now, Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie. Congressman, now, when some of us were driving, we needed to because we were necessary essential employees, but we were driving during COVID and they didn't know we were necessary employees, maybe they would have hit the kill switch on us. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, people said I'm a conspiracy theorist for saying this is in the legislation, but I actually had to read the Democrats the bill that they passed 2 years ago. They passed this in 2021 as part of a 1,039-page bill to require that your car can monitor your driving performance, and if it thinks you're not driving well, it can disable your vehicle. Imagine you're a mom with kids in the car, and you swerved for a deer, and then you pulled over for an emergency vehicle to go by, and you've only got one swerve left. I mean, how terrible, before it shuts you down and takes you to the side of the road. My question is, how do you appeal your conviction when you're sitting at the side of the road with a car that won't run, who knows where, stranded?
Here's your colleague from Michigan, of course, auto industry capital of the world, Representative Debbie Dingell. She reacted to your amendment.
We need to stop drunk driving by making impairment prevention technology standard in new vehicles. It does not mandate kill switches or allow data collection that invades vehicle occupants' privacy. I protect data privacy in vehicles probably more than the sponsor of this does. It's ridiculous, and it doesn't monitor how you drive.
Congressman, please respond to those mellifluous tones.
Well, she needs to read the bill that she voted for. That's the problem. It does. And after she said that, I did read her the bill. Here's the other thing. This isn't a breathalyzer. 31 states already have ignition interlock devices where if you've been convicted of a DUI, you have to blow through that in order to start your car. That's not what this is. Now, this bill also has the ability, it says that car manufacturers need to somehow passively monitor the air in the car to see if you've been drinking. The problem with that is, what if you're the designated driver and you're trying to get somebody home who's had too much to drink? There's so many ways this could go wrong. It's basically a backseat driver, a nanny. And to her point about privacy, I'm worried about that as well. How do you know if somebody's driving well on the road they're on unless you know which road they're on? So you need to know their location. Who has access to this information? Is there going to be a camera that's watching your face as you drive to make sure you're looking at the road? Who gets that data, and do they need a warrant?
Yeah, it's unclear to me where the data is stored. I mean, they're claiming it's not, but there was a surprising vote for four-year amendment. Maybe not that surprising if she's a real liberal. Yeah. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, so she's with you. Finally, we got some bipartisan agreement, even if the amendment failed.
I talked to her about it. She had civil liberties concerns, genuine civil liberties concerns. She knows this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But think about this. There's 19 Republicans who are to the authoritarian left of AOC now. So that's my question, is not why did I get a few Democrats to vote for it, but why were there Republicans who want to keep this mandate in cars?
For any of this regulation, we have enough. We're getting killed by regulations in this country. Congressman, thank you for alerting us to this. We really appreciate it.
So, yeah, we're headed toward pure tyranny in this country. The government does not, under our Constitution, have the right to do any of this. Again, it's like I mentioned earlier, the government is constantly trying to force themselves ever more into our lives. You know, before long, they're going to tell you what kind of sex you can enjoy, what kind of a spouse you can choose. It's going to come to that someday. Thank God I'm never going to live long enough to see any of that. And some fireworks up on Capitol Hill on Tuesday when former University of Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines, my hero, great American hero. This lady is awesome. And she's young, so she's going to be able to affect change for many, many years to come. Anyhow, she was on Capitol Hill testifying on why she opposes biological men who identify as women competing in women's sports. Well, the House Oversight Committee on Health Care and Financial Services held a hearing. That's what this was all about, on the importance of protecting female athletes and Title IX. Now, in her opening remarks, subcommittee ranking member Democrat Representative Summer Lee of Pennsylvania had this to say. Listen to Riley's response.
It's disappointing to me that although the title of this hearing implies a much-needed discussion, we're likely going to be forced to listen to transphobic bigotry.
Unsafe, unfair, and discriminatory practices towards women must stop. Inclusion cannot be prioritized over safety and fairness. And Ranking Member Lee, if my testimony makes me transphobic, then I believe your opening monologue makes you a misogynist.
I don't know about you, but I would call that a slam dunk. And shortly thereafter, Lee, who just took office in January, called on subcommittee chairwoman, GOP Representative Lisa McLean of Michigan, to have Gaines' remarks about her struck from the record, saying the witness was engaging in personalities. Well, the House personalities decorum rule has to do with how members of Congress address each other, requiring them to debate the issues at hand and not engage in personal attacks. However, it doesn't have to do with how witnesses before the committee address lawmakers. Now, if you recall, it was Lee who called Riley Gaines transphobic, right? So that's exactly what happened. Gaines interjected before McLean ruled on the matter, saying, "Could I just ask how it's fair to be called transphobic?" McLean, Lee, and staff members conferred resulting in Lee saying, okay, I move to withdraw the point of order. Now, as you well know, Gaines made national headlines during the 2022 NCAA Swim Championships when she tied for fifth place in the 200-yard freestyle with Leah Thomas, a man who identifies as a woman. Officials gave the fifth-place trophy to Thomas, and nobody liked that. Now, Gaines was told she could stand on the winner's dais next to Thomas and was given a sixth-place trophy to hold to make it appear that both were receiving awards, which was pure bullcorn. Absolute bullcorn. Now, in April, the Biden administration's Department of Education, which is another alphabet soup organization that should be shut down, submitted a rule change to Title IX, making it a violation to bar biological men who identify as women from participating in women's sports. Again, more idiotic leftism being forced upon you and me. We are being forced to accept this immorality. People wonder why God has turned his back on this country. There you go, right there. Now, the public notice that the DOE wrote was, under the proposed regulations, schools would not be permitted to adopt or apply a one-size-fits-all policy that categorically bans transgender students from participating on teams consistent with their gender identity. Instead, the department's approach would allow schools flexibility to develop team eligibility criteria that serve important educational objectives such as ensuring fairness in competition or preventing sports-related injury. These criteria would have to account for the sport, level of competition, and grade or education level to which they apply. It's sick. One-size-fits-all policies that categorically ban transgender students from participating in athletics consistent with their gender identity across all sports, age groups, and levels of competition would not satisfy the proposed regulation. Yeah. Look around you, my friend. As a nation, we have lost our collective mind. Well, it was only a matter of time before Mike Johnson, our new Speaker of the House, Republican from Louisiana, would disappoint us. You know, I mean, it's a situation of odds, right? It's got to happen somewhere, sometime. Well, it just happened. In an article by Sean Moran, writing for Breitbart, he said that Speaker Mike Johnson backtracked and caved to the deep state and Democrats. You know, they're one and the same, right? Deep state Democrats. By moving to slip a deep state authorization into the defense bill. Now, reports say that congressional leaders, including Johnson, agreed to put an extension of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, you know, the FISA, in the National Defense Authorization Act, which is known as the NDAA. Now, the bill would extend Section 702 until April 19th. And quite honestly, this frustrated several conservatives, including those who were supposed to be instrumental in crafting the final texts for the NDAA. MTG, gotta love this lady. She is quite a fighter, and she's hated in Washington for a very simple reason. She's an outsider. That's why she's hated. No other reason. She's an outsider. She's not part of the deep state. She's not part of the system there in Washington. So she's hated. And I think she thrives on that, which is good. And she released a video statement after she said that leadership asked conferees, which includes herself, to agree to the 3,000-plus page NDAA, which is being released behind closed doors without even getting time to read it. Gee, who does that remind you of? Well, Nancy Pelosi used to pull that gambit time after time after time. So anyhow, MTG blamed Johnson for negotiating with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to cut a deal that would contain prohibitions against funding for abortion and trans surgery prohibitions that were in the House passed NDAA under former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. So the way she explained it, she says it also would pass a clean FISA extension. Not to mention more of your taxpayer dollars sent to Ukraine to fund the proxy war. No member of the NDAA conference had any influence on this process. It was done in secret meetings with no input from conferees. Now we're supposed to just grin and take it with no say in the final bill? Is the GOP really going to fund abortion vacations and trans surgeries, fund the Ukraine war, all with a clean FISA extension under Speaker Johnson? This was a total sellout of conservative principles and a huge win for Democrats. Congratulations to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. You should all be excited to vote for this. I'm a hell no. Boy, what is not to love about that lady? Now, the news comes as a shock to many of those who were most intimately involved in crafting solutions to reform Section 702, which needed reformation, a very controversial surveillance law that Republicans and Democrats, progressives and conservatives, want to reform. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan of Ohio, my hero, said, "I wish that wasn't the case. I was encouraging people to just wait for both bills. The intel is marking theirs up tomorrow. Ours is ready now." Now, the House Judiciary Committee advanced their legislation, the Protect Liberty and End Warrantless Surveillance Act. And the House Intelligence Committee plans to mark up their proposed bill. In fact, I think they were going to do that yesterday. I'd have to double check on that. But the move by the Speaker, Mike Johnson, and other congressional leaders to put a FISA extension in the bill removes leverage for those who want to reform the surveillance law and robs those of an historic chance to reform Section 702. Now, another Republican from Ohio, Warren Davidson, who led a letter with 53 other members urging leadership not to include Section 702 in the NDAA, said, "Adding Section 702 of FISA to the NDAA not only undermines the American people who oppose warrantless mass surveillance, this action would jeopardize our ability to pass a strong national defense package." What was it I said in the first segment? We were talking about the automotive thing. Government is getting more and more and more intrusive. All right, enter Chip Roy of Texas. Good Republican, he says. So the House GOP is going to work with Democrats to pass a crappy, watered-down NDAA, losing most of the stuff we fought for, abortion, transgender, CRT, DEI, along with an almost four-month continuation of FISA, spying on Americans with no reforms yet? Chip Roy is amazing. So James Chernyawoski, I think that's how you pronounce it, Chernyawoski, he's a senior policy analyst at Americans for Prosperity, AFP. He wrote, "Representative Davidson is absolutely right. Putting a short-term reauthorization, in the NDAA jeopardizes it. Doing so allows the litany of documented abuses of this authority to continue. Americans aren't okay with that outcome. This Congress can and should take the opportunity to fix FISA." Well, you have to wonder, will they? Having watched the government as closely as I have over the last 20 years, I doubt it. Mick Farthing, writing in the PJ newsletter, says it's no stretch to say Americans are losing faith in the FBI. Recent bombshells suggest the highest law enforcement agency in the land has been compromised over politics. Well, of course. And a lot of people have criticized the FBI for its role in the DOJ's attacks on Trump. Others have commented on recent scandals like the FBI branding Catholics as domestic terrorists. Boy, was that a major screw-up or what? But one particular scandal has left Americans outraged for years. FBI Director Wray was forced to answer about this issue, that the FBI knew Hunter Biden's laptop was real, even as intelligence officials claimed it was fake. Wray said the FBI was silent for this reason. Now, from the post-millennial, they said, Senator John Kennedy grilled FBI Director Christopher Wray in the Senate on Tuesday, demanding to know why the agency didn't come out and say that Hunter Biden's laptop was real when it was reported on by the New York Post in October of 2020. Remember, that was the big story that was scrubbed by all the social media. Again, we have to be very careful about what we... This is Wray speaking. He says, again, we have to be very careful about what we can say, especially in the middle of an election season, because that precisely some of the problems that led to my predecessor's negative findings from the inspector general. Well, according to reports, The FBI knew about Hunter Biden's infamous laptop for nearly a year before the story broke. Now, again, that story broke in October of 2020. And it was from the New York Post, a very trustworthy organization. And in that story, they revealed some of the shocking content in that computer. And intelligence officials, some of whom now work for Biden directly, quickly signed a letter claiming the laptop was fake, produced by Russia to spread disinformation. Yet the FBI had known all along that the laptop was real. But not only did they not investigate the laptop, according to earlier reports, but Ray claims the agency didn't refute claims the computer was fake because it was an election season. So this seems to suggest that the agency refused to set the record straight because of how it would affect the outcome of the election. Election interference. A lot of Americans are going to take this to mean the FBI hid the truth to protect Joe Biden. And polls have come out suggesting many voters wouldn't have voted for Biden had they known about the laptop. But the claims by these intelligence officials inspired social networks to censor the news about the laptop, preventing a lot of Americans from learning about it. Election interference from the FBI. Think about that. To the Comedy Corner with Frank King.
65 years old, been doing stand-up comedy 35 years, which means I have at least one, do you know, ex-wife? I'm afraid it's an occupational hazard. Not going to do like a lot of comedians do and run my first wife down. She is a wonderful woman. She's my high school sweetheart, my college sweetheart. We got married and realized a little bit too late we had absolutely nothing in common. But you guys know what they say, opposites. Yep, she was pregnant. I wasn't. So, no, that's not true. I made that up. We never had any kids. I think that's probably a good thing. But no, she went on to get married, have two kids, which is exactly what she wanted. I couldn't be happier for her. I work conventions. Do you guys know this? Every industry has a favorite joke, an inside the ballpark sort of joke. I was doing the North Dakota grain dealers. Yes. Good people. Hardworking, tax-paying, church-going, little heavily Caucasian. I had trouble finding black licorice. Yeah, I said that during my show, and the meeting planner, oh my, she was mad. She came up afterwards. She did as my mama would say. She had a fit and fell in it. She goes, Mr. King, I'll have you know, we have people here in North Dakota of several races. I said, yes, ma'am, Anglos and Saxons. I did a group of morticians. Dark sense of humor, oh my Lord. Yes, the selected independent funeral homes. And I was speaking to the meeting planner a month before the talk. It was a motivational talk. And she said to me, what do you call your motivational speech for morticians? Now, bear in mind, I was kidding. I said, I call it thinking inside the box. Yeah, they liked it so much, I had to call it that. I'm telling you, they have the dark. Here's their favorite joke. What's the most difficult thing about being a mortician? Do you know? Trying to look sad at a $35,000 funeral. That's just wrong. But if you've ever been in sales, you know what my favorite are the chiropractors. Anybody here a chiropractor? Anybody? How many chiropractors does it take to screw in a light bulb? One. But it's going to take six visits. If you've ever been to a chiropractor, you know that's the truth. And I work cruises. Anybody here been on a cruise? Have you done the cruise thing? Yeah. Okay, did you know this? The longer the cruise, the older the passenger. The longer the cruise, the older the pasture. I recently did 10 days on a 115-day cruise. 115 days. We're talking old people and their parents. Every night, same thing for dessert. Oxygen. Oh, yeah. Heard it once, heard half dozen times. Clear. Boom. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, helicopters coming and going from that boat like bees from a hive.
Make it a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?